14. 1 Samuel 14. At one point in that song, the song Scott was singing, I said, just sing it again. You've got to be willing to get out of your plan. If God's in something, stay in it. You know what I mean? You got to be willing to throw your plan out the door and get all the way into God's plan. So whatever God's in, let's ride out that till he's done. I see God working this morning, and he'll continue to work if you allow him to. Amen. God is not an in-church God only. Amen. Does that make sense to you? God is not an in-church God only. He's God here. He's God out there. Amen. You don't have to go, well, hey, you know what? I'm going to go meet with God today. You can meet with God wherever you're at. And that's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing. 1 Samuel 14. I'm going to not try to go any further than God would have me to go this morning. But this is a word. When I was getting this ready, the meat of this message is probably not for everybody. I hate that. I said, man, I need a word for everybody, Lord. And the Lord's like, he's trying to knock somebody into service this morning. Knock you into, you can't be satisfied with just being a Christian. You just can't be satisfied with just going to church. You can't be satisfied with just being on the right side of things. He's wanting you to become a warrior for him. I know when I say that, some of y'all think, well, he's a guy, so he thinks warrior. It's kind of a different meaning for me. And let's get into that. Let's go to the Word of God. 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14, 1. Now it came to pass upon the day. Are y'all seeing that? That Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines, a garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father. Jonathan is the son of a king, but he don't believe in his father as the true king anymore. He's went to a higher king. He's looked to a higher authority than his father. He's made up his mind that dad is a good king, but he's not a great king. He was a chosen man, but he's forsaken God. I must choose God's plan, not mine. I must diverge from what my father's doing to what God's doing. We can all relate to that because we were all born of Adam. Through one man's sin entered the world, right? Through one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, so therefore we're all corrupt. But through one man's obedience, that's Jesus. Amen? Through one man's obedience. The same. We have to switch plans, switch kings, and switch lineages. We have to deny ourselves and accept Christ. We got to deny that our plan's ever going to work out, and we got to get on board with God's plan. And Jonathan said somewhere in the Old Testament, he said, you know what? I'm recognizing that God's going to send a better king. And I'm going to support God over the king. During this time, I want to say this. Saul was a good king at one point. He had subdued his enemies on every side. The Philistines were no match for him. Somewhere along the way, though, he compromised. I'll let that sink in for a second. I know we're in a hurry, but I want you to get this. Somewhere along the way, he compromised. He became big in his own eyes, and God became small. Has anybody done that in here? Remember when God used to be real big to you? But now all of a sudden, he's become small. You making all the shots. You're making all the calls. Making all the decisions. And somehow we can do it better than God does it. And all of a sudden Saul began to diminish. And you know what happened? God, y'all, stay right here. Watch this. You know what happened? The thing that he was easily defeating was now easily defeating him. Amen. Come on, stay right here with me. The things that he was easily defeating were now defeating him. If you turn from God and go your own way, the things that you used to give no second thought to will dominate you. Amen? Will take over your life. There was a place in their time right here where they were defeating the Philistines at every turn. Just putting them down every time they turned around. But now the Philistines had such a stronghold. They had surrounded them on three sides. And do you know what? Not one person other than the king and his son had a sword. There were no blacksmiths. I relate that. There were no preachers. Amen? Preachers take the iron and beat it out till it becomes a sharp sword. Amen? That's kind of what my job is, to give you a weapon to fight the enemy with. Amen? To forge a weapon out. But you know what? You know what? The Bible is always referred to in the New Testament as a sword. You're issued a sword. When you join the military, they give you a general issue. They give you a weapon. Amen? We've got all this battle gear, helmet, girded with the truth, breastplate of righteousness. We've got all that, but you need one offensive weapon. And when you get that, it's the sword. It's the Word of God. But you know what? Just like in this situation right here, the enemy had taken the sword out of their hands. Most of us today are Bible illiterate. We don't know what it says. We know what somebody said that it said. Amen? I like to preach to. I like to minister to. I like to sow into people who read the Word of God. You know why? It's easier. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to go over and over and over about it. All you have to do is say it. And they go, amen, that's right. Or, no, that's not true. Amen? But they had gotten to a place, and Jonathan was sitting there, and you know what? He said to himself, he said, I'm choosing God over my father. I'm choosing over what I know, over what I don't know. He couldn't stay. He couldn't stay just on the king's side. He couldn't just stay on the right people's side. He was an Israelite. He was a Jew. He was a child of the king. But you know what? It wasn't enough. This is where we're going to kind of diverge here. Everybody in this room needs Jesus. Everybody in here needs to be saved. But guess what? Not everybody is going to get sick and tired of just making plans. No, everybody ain't going to be, I don't want to sit on the sideline of a committee. Not everybody wants to sit and have a pep rally but never play the game. Not everybody wants to sit and say, hey, we're going to pray about it, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to think about it, but we're never going to really do anything. Jonathan was sitting over there, and he's going, you know what? The enemy's all around us. Can I tell you this? The enemy's all around us. We are a nation that has surrendered God. I'm being honest. Most of our schools today, it is offensive for somebody to mention God. Most, not all. It's offensive to read the Word of God. It's offensive to pray. No, but the adults can't lead. The kids got to lead. That's a mistake. That is a mistake. Some of you are waiting to say, well, hopefully the kids will lead us. Praise God, we need adults who will lead us. That didn't cost you anything. It was free. But he chose. He says, you know what? I just can't sit on the sidelines of life anymore. I want to engage the enemy. I don't want to sit over here and talk about how good God was and God is and never do it. I'm hoping that God's still writing chapters of the Bible today in heaven. He is, by the way. I hope he's still in heaven going, this is the other part of the book of Acts. Acts. Do you ever notice the book of Acts is the New Testament church? That's us. That's in our DNA, if you didn't know it. Amen? Stop comparing yourself to a dead cult religion. We were born in an upper room with 120 people who were praying, and the Holy Spirit came down like cloven tongues of fire and sat on them, and they prophesied, and they come out, and that day the church was added by 3,000, and after that another church, a group, was added by 5,000, and the church has never ceased to start anything ever since. They've always rode fire in persecution, slumber in prosperity. The church has been prosperous too long. We needed something to come against us. The enemy is all around. Jonathan said, we're surrounded on other sides. We don't have a way out. We can sit here and die, or we can go on offense. The church needs to go on offense. I hate to tell you that. We played defense too long. We've got inside our four walls, and we're going to say, they can't come in here and get us. They're never coming in here to get us. We got to go out there and get them. And I'm talking to a handful of warriors. I'm talking a handful of men and a handful of women, a handful of teenagers who will just say this, I'm sick and tired of being lukewarm. I'm sick and tired of getting ran over by the devil. I'm sick and tired of drinking and drugging and looking at pornography and doing all the stuff that, oh, I'm still battling, I'm still struggling. Yeah, that's great, but you know what? Why don't you go on offense? Why don't you stop wrestling around with the devil and playing footsie with him and holding hands with him and say, you know, instead, I'm going to be a thorn in your side for a while. I know. That's radical preaching. That's radical teaching. Why don't we just come and get a good Bible story and go home, preacher? I don't want a good Bible story. I want to be a good Bible story. If Jonathan can do it, you can do it. Jonathan got up by himself. Let's go to the next verse. I'm going to kind of hit you a little bit right here. And I'll apologize later. And Saul tarried under the uttermost parts of Gibeah, under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. He was sitting there worried about the numbers. Sounds like every church I've ever met. We don't got enough. We don't have but a few. Oh my goodness, I wonder if God can do with a battle. I just don't think. I bet Jonathan just got sick and tired of going, man, why are we waiting on God to do something? He's already doing something. He don't need a bunch of people. And he sat there and watched his dad sit under the tree. We've been sitting under this tree too long. Amen. We've been sitting under the tree making plans for too long. God wants more out of you than I'm going to do it. God wants, let me just be real, God wants more out of you than coming to an altar and saying, sorry, I'm sorry. God says, all right, now that you're sorry, get busy. Go to work. It's hard to sin when you're fighting the enemy. It's easy to sin when you're sitting around doing nothing. Idle, your idle hands, your idle time. Praise God, if you're in a battle, it's hard to look and stuff, taste stuff. Be a part of stuff if you're in a fight. Because when you're in a fight, you're fighting. And when you're done fighting, you're eating. When you're done eating, you're talking to God. I need more strength. Some of y'all wonder why church don't have no flavor for you anymore. You know why? Because you don't come in here hungry. You don't come in here wounded. You don't come in here broke and be like, man, God, I'm hurting. And some of y'all are counting to some bygone year. It's going to be like, one day we're going to be having revival. Right at the end, we're going to have, God wants to have revival with you. I wish there was a couple of people in here that you're sitting beside somebody and they don't know, but you're about to come unglued. You're about to get crazy for Christ. I love watching people in church. Sometimes see, I got a different point of view than you do. I see one person sitting there going, man, I hope we can get out of here quick. Because this is going to get wild. And the person right next to him is going, I'm about to sell out. I'm about to change everything. Amen? But the good thing about that is iron sharpens iron. Amen? If you're plowing with somebody, praise God, just hope that you're hooked up tight enough that they don't drag you down the rows. You didn't get that. See, when you're yoked to somebody, you're dating somebody, or you're married to somebody, praise God, if they get Jesus, they might drag you a little bit. Until you get unhooked, amen? Or you get up and start plowing along, amen? Golly, bum. I wish I had some wives in here that says, you know what, honey? You better buckle up. You better buckle up. Because I'm about to pull. We're about to go right down this row, and we're going with Jesus. I wish I had some men. I wish you'd just come, stop worrying so much about what happened on the TV, what happened on the sports, what's happened in politics, and say, you know what? I'm going to make a difference for Jesus. Hang on, honey. We're going somewhere. Hang on, honey, because we're about to do some things. I wish some of you that are dating right now would look over at the person you're dating and saying, I hope you can handle some Jesus in this thing, because I'm about to put a whole lot of Jesus in it. I hope you can handle it, because if you can't, that's okay. Some of y'all are scared. Some of y'all right now going, man, I wish we'd get out of here. He's going to ruin my relationships. That's my whole purpose. If I can ruin your relationships, wait till the devil gets a hold of it. Want to have an altar call now, or are you going to wait? I'm just getting started. This feels pretty good now. Verse 3, and Ai, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, and the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, were wearing the ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Verse 3, don't tell everybody what you're doing for God. We've got enough proclamations. I'm going to do better in my Sunday school class next week. I'm going to do better for the youth next week. I'm going to be a better singer next week. I'm going to be a better preacher next week. Praise God, why don't you just make up your mind and do it? why don't you just sell out and do it? Why don't you just say, you know what, I'm going to give them everything I got, no matter what. Jonathan goes, you know what, if I tell everybody, I might change my mind. Amen? If you, and listen, if I tell the wrong person, they might talk me out of it. Pray, stay with me. Praise God. Listen to this. If you tell the wrong person what God's about to do in your life, they might say something like, you need to calm down. You need to settle down. If you'll just settle down a little bit, that'll pass and you can be a normal Christian. You get too radical, people are going to hate you. You get around the right person, they'll just say, you know what you need to do. That's what they told me when I first got into this thing. You ain't never going to be nobody preaching the way you preach. You preach too hard, too loud, too fast. You need to simmer down some. Just turn the volume up. Amen. And just done it as like, because you know what? I ain't got no other gear. I ain't got no other plan or no other way. I didn't do this for anybody else. I got into it for Jesus. Amen. You got to get that mentality. I didn't get into it for you. I told you because I thought you was in the line of Christ with us. But you know what? Apparently you're not, because you want us. I have to go there every time. Y'all know I hate this. I've probably done a message on this before. I hate. I mean, with a big old capital H. I hate butter beans. I'm serious. Don't joke around with me and bring me some butter beans and go, here you go, preacher, try them. I will not eat them. I don't care what you put in. I don't care if you pour a pound of bacon grease in there. I'm not eating them. Amen? I don't care. I don't like them. They don't have no taste. They taste like what dirt probably tastes like. I'm being honest. But I don't settle for spiritual butter beans either. You know what I like? I like steak. Probably gets me in a little trouble, but I like steak. I like ribeyes. They got a lot of fat on them. And I like eating ribeyes. Amen? And if somebody ever says, do you want the rest of my ribeye? I say yes. Amen? We usually get two ribeyes at the steakhouse, and my wife says, do you want the rest of this? I'm like, you didn't have to ask. Let's just trade plates. Amen? I've never turned down a steak. Never. I've never said, I don't want a steak. I've turned down every butter bean that's ever came my way. Amen? I like spiritual steak. I do. I like spiritual steak. I like, you know what? And we've had steak today. Whoa, man, this is good. This is a great service. Do you want some more? Hey, Johnny, do you want another piece of steak? Yeah. Do you need a to-go plate? No. Maybe for the salad. Amen. We'll forego some things. I wish somebody would make up your mind and say, I'm sick and tired of having butter bean services. I'm sick and tired of having butter bean Christianity. Give me steak. Give me the meat. Give me the stuff I like. You know what I like? I like to be in the presence of God. You know what I like more than being in the presence of God? I love when it gets weird. When you're sitting there going, what are we going to do now? When's that going to be over? When's that going to be through? What happened to her? What happened to him? You know what happened? God got a hold of him. Praise God, it'd be awesome if God got a hold of you. You'd have to stop worrying about it. Why do they keep coming to the altar? Because God's here. Why do they keep praying like that? God's here. God's doing something. Amen? Man, they look miserable. Yeah, they do in here, but they don't out there. Amen? John, I didn't know where Jonathan went. Where'd Jonathan go? Jonathan didn't tell nobody. Ain't that amazing? Jonathan didn't tell nobody. I'm going to start a great ministry. I'm going to start preaching. I'm going to start singing. I'm going to be on fire. Don't tell nobody. Just be on fire. Praise God. If you light a fire, people will come. Amen? Listen, they tell this all the time. They tell this to people. If you're being raped or molested or hurt in a crowd, they don't tell you to say, help, I've been being raped. You know what they tell them to say? Fire! Fire! Everybody will come. Because everybody either wants to see a fire or put out a fire. Amen? Or be a part of a fire. I wish the church would get on fire. Some people, I wonder how many people we can get in this church. I wonder how many people would come. I wonder if anybody ever's going to come up here. You know why people come to this church in the middle of nowhere on the top of a mountain? Because we got fire! People say all the time, I don't know if it's going to keep going. It's going to keep going because we got fire. We don't have a great preacher. We don't have great singing. We just got Jesus, and we just try to get him started. We try to turn him loose. Some people say, oh, this church is dead. They ain't dead. They just forgot what the real thing's about. I'm not going to be a frozen, chosen person. And they, Jonathan had gone. Look, verse 4. This is really good. I'll slow down and calm down and give you the meat of the message right here. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other was Sinna. This is pretty cool. They were going up, the two of them, the armor bearer and Jonathan. Hang out with people when you tell them radical stuff. You only need like one. You know what? Some of y'all have got social media. Anybody, social media? Facebook? I know Facebook's a devil, I know. But you got it? I got social media. I got Facebook. Facebook, I'm kind of leaning towards Twitter and Instagram now, but I still got my Facebook thing. I've got like, I don't know, almost 4,000 friends. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. But I don't have 4,000 friends. I don't. I got one or two. Amen? I got one or two, really. I got a lot of people that are involved in social media, keep up with a lot of people, all that stuff. But I got about one or two friends, amen? And I've got one friend that sticks closer to brother, that's Jesus. And I've got my life partner, amen? This is my ride or die. I know that don't make sense to some of y'all. Okay, I'm sorry. But this is my wife. We go through everything together. You know what? She's the person. She's my best friend in life. She's the person that I can say crazy Jesus stuff to, and she don't freak out. She says, all right, if it's Jesus, pack up, let's go. Amen? Amen? When you lean over and say, hey, honey, I think we're moving back to Tennessee, praise God. She's a Georgia girl. It's the only good thing ever come out of Georgia. I got a pulpit, y'all be quiet. But I'll say things like, hey, I think God's going to move us here. God's going to put us in a boys' home. Or God's going to have us pastor this church. Or God's going to take us and live on a campus with nothing but drug addicts. And God's going to take us to this radical other church at Flat Top. And we're just going to go down there. And every single time we've done it, she said, if God's in it, then it'll be good. Let's go. If God's in it, let's go. I'll pack the stuff. We'll get ready. We'll move. Amen? She don't say, are you sure it's God? Have you prayed about it? I don't think it can happen. I don't think we can do it. It's always, if God's in it, it'll work out. And you know, every time I've told her something that God's not in, oh, God, I hope y'all can handle this kind of stuff. Every once in a while, I'll get in my feelings. Terry, I got feelings sometimes. Whew. I can get mad and happy like that sometimes, right? Somebody can hurt my feelings, and I'll say something. I'll go home, my feelings. You ever get in your feelings? I'll go home, and I'll say, we're going to do this. She goes, no, we're not. Oh, yes, we are. I'm sick and tired. We're going to do this. No, we're not. That ain't God. That's you. I can tell. All right, I'm going to pray about it. And God will figure it out, and he'll get you on board with it. He never does. He never gets her on board with it. Amen? Because that's me and my feelings. And God will know that. And that person you can connect with like that, Jonathan's armor bearer, that person that carried the armor for him, he didn't even have a sword. Let's go over here and see if God will work for us. Okay. I got your armor, but let's go. Amen? That's what kind of people we need in our church. That's what kind of people you need in your life. Not the people who extinguish God, but the ones who fan the flames. The ones who fan the flames. Not calm down. Okay, let's see if we can do this better. Amen? God, ain't that good? Ain't that good? Watch this. Oh, the two places. I got so excited I almost missed them. This is the meat of the message. I almost just went right by it. God will put these two mountains, these two rock and a hard places. They were one in the south and one in the north. They were between a rock and a hard place. They were in a tough spot. But guess what? The reason they named this spot, it has two distinct characteristics. Two. Remember this. Two distinct characteristics. The one, they were unclimbable. They were unscalable. They were a trouble to get out of. Write that down, some of you. God will put you in a trouble that you can't get out of. Come on, man. Y'all, some of y'all are going through that right now. And if you're not, you will. But right now, God will put you in a trouble that you can't get out of. You'll look to the front and you'll look to the back and you say, I can't get out of here. It's going to take God to get me out of this. Amen? That was one characteristic of these two rock places. They were unscalable. God will put you in a trouble that seemingly is destroy you, but it is about to change you for the better. Amen? In 2020, I have been in three situations so far that I was like, I can't get out of this. Amen? It was a tough place. There's no way I'm getting out of this without God, right? Laying there knowing. But then in that place, God, in that place, God was there. He loves to get into trouble with us. He loves it. I don't know why, but He does. I can be having the best days of my life, but in the worst, if I can just look around a little bit, He'll be right there. Not in my well, not in my strength, not in my gifts, not in my talents, not in all that, but in my trouble. He'll place you right in that place where you're like, I can't get out of this. And God will look, you can look over at Him, and He'll say, yeah, but I'm in here with you. I don't want to preach Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we can't get out of here. God's like, yeah, I know. I'm in here. You notice you're in the fire, but they ain't having no effect. ain't it great when you're in a tough spot and everybody's looking in thinking it's going to kill you, but you ain't died yet? Everybody's looking in going, they're going to quit. They're going to give up. They're not going to praise Him. They're not going to go to church. They're not going to keep reading their Bible. They ain't going to keep doing their thing. They're going to give up. They're going to quit. Some of you, the devil already thought you was going to quit. Matter of fact, some of you, this morning, if you just praise Him a little bit, you're not. It's amazing that you're sitting here. I mean, it's a miracle. Some of you have walked out, I ain't never, ever, 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 ever coming back. Okay, act spiritual. You said it. Here you are. Here you are in all your trouble, in all your heartache, in all your pain. The devil's watching too and going, how in the world? Why don't you put our makeup on and go to church this morning? How in the world did he brush his teeth and get to church this morning? He should have been at the house. Amen. Second characteristic, it's a place of victory. Nobody who had ever been in that spot has lost in a battle. It was fortified. It was fortified. You couldn't get out, but the enemy couldn't get in. Man. Some of y'all think the trouble that you're in, God's not in it. God's put you in there. It seems like trouble, but it's really a fortified position. You can't get out, but they can't get in. I've got you. Amen? God, ain't that cool? That's why it named the place. It wasn't just two little rocks that they happened into. God put them in a place that looked like trouble, but it's a real place of safety. You ain't never been safer. Golly, you have never been safer in your whole life than the place where God has you. Some of you will sit there and think, man, it'd be safer for some of my kids if they'll just go here instead of there. If they'll go to college and not into the mission. If they'll go to college and not into the ministry. They'll do this. They won't do that. Man, listen, as God is so good. God will keep you when nobody else can keep you. Amen? Watch this right here. I want to kind of finish right around here. Watch this right here. The forefront of the one who situated northward against them. Okay, verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bear the armor, come up and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. I don't care about a number, just two. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And that's still true today. If you're sitting here right now going, I'm the only radical one here. I'm the only one who wants to do something crazy. He only needs you. You and God are a majority, right? Watch this. Watch this right here. And I love his armor bearer. He's crazier than he is. Amen. Watch this. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Good Lord. Who's crazier? Jonathan or him? Come on, man. Let's go. I was waiting on you. Ain't that cool? Some of you right now, remember earlier in this message, I said your partner, that person next to you, is about to turn on for Christ. Wouldn't it be cool if all of a sudden you just look over and I was waiting on you the whole time? Amen? You got the fire, I'm ready. I'm ready to roll. Amen? Let's yoke up and let's plow both rows. Amen? Golly. Some of y'all need to make a declaration today. You and your wife are going to serve the Lord. Amen? Some of you kids in here need to make your mind up. You know what? I'm going to try to serve the Lord. I'm going to strike out for the Lord. Who cares what people think? You say, well, I might lose some people. I've never lost anybody that's supposed to be here. Let that sink in. He'll get in there. I've never lost anybody who is supposed to be with me. Amen? All right, let's go a little further. Watch this. Then Jonathan, behold, we will pass over. What a good plan. We will pass over to these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up to them. That means they lost. This is pretty cool stuff. Watch this. But if they say, thus come unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign for us. What a plan. If they say, stay here, we're probably going to get killed in this thing. Armor bearer, big smile on his face. All right. But if they say, come up. Now listen to the logic of that. Where all the warriors are, if they tell us to come up to where they're at, then we're going to take control of them. That don't make sense. But in God's world, it does. Amen? You're going to draw near to the enemy. Amen? And then God's going to get in the midst of it. Amen? Do y'all like this? Watch right. This is the last point I'm preaching. I want you to get this because this is what God wanted me to get out of this morning, the ending part. Watch this. But if they say, all right, verse 11, and both of them, watch this, this is so good. How many of y'all sometimes don't feel like warriors for Christ? This guy, okay. And both of them discovered themselves under the garrison. That means they popped out. Hey, here we are. It's too late then. After you let the enemy know you're there, it's over, okay? You're in a fight of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, now watch, listen to what they said about them. Here they are. Here's these awesome warriors of God, okay? Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of their holes where they have hid themselves. That's not a big striking fear announcement. Look, the rabbits have came out of their holes. Okay, y'all good? There's the equivalent. Oh man, look, the ones that were hiding from us, so many, are down there. You getting it? Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is stop going on outward appearance. Stop trying to think, man, somehow I don't have enough skill, talent, or ability. I don't have the right stuff to be a warrior for God. You know what you have to be a warrior for God? Faith in God. Amen? All you have to have is faith in God. All you got to say is, it's God and me against you, you're in trouble. Amen? You're in trouble. You might want to surrender now. Amen? No matter. Listen, some of y'all, I kind of give it the Yoda effect. I'll let it sink in. Y'all know who Yoda is? Yoda is a little old 800-year-old make-believe character in Star Wars. And he walks with a cane. Oh, gosh. He does this. And there's one episode where he walks in with the cane. And the guy says, oh, Yoda, I've been waiting on you. And he gets his sword out. And Yoda lets his cane fall to the side. And he takes out a sword and he goes flipping and flopping through the air. Oh, y'all missed it. It's great. Y'all missed it. I'm sorry. I know we're preaching Star Wars now, but it's okay somehow. And he's doing all this stuff. And he's fighting the guy. And the guy gives up. And Yoda then does this little force thing and takes his cane back. And you got to watch the movie. It's good. But that's how I picture most powerful Christians. You see them. Some of them come in. They're 90. They're 80. And they barely make it in the house of God. And you look at them. You're like, man, they ain't nothing. God said, they got more power than you could ever imagine. A little old widow woman comes in. And everybody feels sorry for her until she starts praying. Then God, just like that, is moving throughout the room. Oh, my goodness. And all of a sudden, church's over. And they just. And you're sitting there going, how did that happen? Because you don't have to look all powerful on the outside to be a powerful person in Jesus. You just have to say, you know what? I trust God. I trust God over my circumstances. I trust God over my limitations. I trust God over my powerlessness. I trust God over my enemy. And when I let God loose in my life, there's nothing he can't do. Come on, Scott. Everybody stand. Here's my favorite part of this story. They're standing down there, and the last thing the enemy says, and this happens a lot in the Bible, the enemy ridicules them. Look at them. They're coming out of their holes. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. Remember when David was drawing close to the giant? Giant said, why did you bring such a ruddy, little, insignificant boy to the battle? That's what he said about David. That's the last thing he got out of his mouth. He got out of his mouth. He said, why did you bring such a little ruddy boy out here with shepherd's tools to face such a warrior as me? I am going to feed him to the birds. And I love preaching this more than anything else because it's so cool. David was reaching into his bag and pulling out the stone and pushing it into the sling. And he was walking towards him. And the giant was still talking as David was still walking. And I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. You know what David said? The first thing David came out of his mouth, he said, you have defiled. Not me. Golly, Bama. You got this started when you took God's name in vain. Now, I wish I had about 4 or 5 people here. So I ain't going to put up with it. You defile God and God's people. And I'm sick and tired of sitting on the sideline. So guess what? Me and you, Bubba, we're going to get it on. And he kept walking towards him. He goes, what's going to happen is I'm going to take you down, cut your head off, and feed your body to the birds. In the name of Jesus. He never broke stride, never stopped walking, never stopped closing the distance. That's what the church should be like. Some of you in this church, some, not all, some of you need to make up your mind. I'm tired of talking about old Bible stories. I'm tired of saying, one of these days, I'm going to do something for God. Some of you need to make up your mind today. I'm selling out for Christ. Some of you and mom and daddies in here, you need to do it before it gets too late. What I mean by that is, they're going to only have a certain period of time to watch you either serve God or serve yourself. And if it's all about self, you know what they're going to do? They're going to serve themselves. When I made my decision to follow Jesus all the way, I had a wife that wasn't saved and kids that weren't saved. Amen? They had never seen a daddy walk it out for Jesus, ever. Amen? You and God can change that. Amen? Do you want to be a warrior for Jesus? Go ahead.